ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to this very special day after Christmas episode with some good friends. You are listening to your favorite blockhead. You are also tuning in to Casually Kicking It. In YFB's case, it's the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow infigurate the comic strip of Peanuts 1 minute and then start talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. There was a song that came out several years back by a band called Ben Folds 5. If I remember correct, the song went 6 a.m., day after Christmas, something in between. The world is sleeping, I am numb. I don't know why I pulled that song out of nowhere, but I did, just to kind of get us on. We are on the back end of Christmas Day, and I sincerely hope all you guys on this side had a wonderful holiday and a safe holiday. Same thing to the listeners of Casually Kicking It and the Blockhead Nation. But you know what? We put it out there. Was there going to be a new episode of your favorite Blockhead? And when the announcement was made, there may not be an episode or there might be one. Look what happened. The YFB Network threw an audible. And now we have on the show Ed and Tom of Casually Kicking It. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey, doing good. Doing good. How are you?
Can't complain. How about you, Ed?
Enjoying the holidays.
There you have it, my guys. And so as we take a minute to just kind of decompress from all that, I got to ask y'all a couple of questions. I thought maybe if a question comes up in between, we'll roll with it, but sometimes it doesn't hurt just to put an idea out there and see what happens. I like to start with something pretty simple, which is Christmas memories. So starting with you, Ed, are there some precious memories of Christmas or throughout the holidays that you would like to just share with the Blockhead Nation, with your listeners, something that truly matters to you, that would really tickle our hearts this holiday season? What are some memories you can share with us, bud?
You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with everyone the memory of family unification, which in this, you know, year of COVID and this holiday was a little bit different than, you know, the normal holidays.
Indeed.
So a tradition in my family was basically getting together in someone's household. I mean, all the family members from both sides of the family or whoever it was, we would always gather at one family member's house and have, you know, the biggest meal you can think of. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I'm Latino, so we had, you know, big old pot of rice, one of the biggest things, you know, that we have, especially in Puerto Rico is pork. And, you know, that was one of the dishes there. And I mean, but you have plentiful for everyone. I mean, the amount of food and the amount of people, and it didn't have to do with, you know, gift giving. It didn't have anything to do with, you know, and anything like that. It was just being with each other and just celebrating, you know, Christmas. You know, I think that, you know, that's one of the memories that I cherish and I miss this year is being at someone's house with a ton of people and a ton of food.
I love that answer, buddy. I got to throw it over to Tom. This guy is really decking the halls out, as we can tell from the background, buddy. So what do you got for us, stud?
Oh, the only thing I do traditional wise is that every Christmas Eve we get to open up one present, and that present would usually be pajamas for the next day. So that's the only tradition we have. I mean, when it comes to Christmas Day, we wake up early, we open up our presents, and then pretty much I end up cooking the whole day to like either barbecue or whatever's on the menu. But I love just having the family over and just enjoying ourselves. One day that we can actually let everything go and just enjoy the fact that we're together. So
beautiful. You know, it's really hard for me to narrow down to one real tradition, but I think what I might need to do is kind of work chronologically here. The first one that I can throw at is tradition-wise was I really did enjoy always going to see my grandma and my grandpa when we would go. And now, granted, I'm an only child, so it's not like there's a whole lot of pack up and have to go. And they were only about 30 minutes away. So the family would usually meet up there, and we would have Christmas. And also, I found this out later on through the years that, you know, my grandmother was a wonderful cook on the holidays, but I found out growing up that she was a person who used like every single dish in the house, whether it was Thanksgiving or Christmas. Even though the food was wonderful, the dishes were an absolute nightmare. And I didn't realize that as a kid because I was able to enjoy the experiences and things like that. So when you said that, Tom, I thought about how, yeah, you might be cooking, but it's one of those, can we clean as we go? Can we minimize how much we use? You're laughing exactly. Because you get it. Yeah, so I have to throw that one out there.
Any battle in my house.
See, there you go. And, you know, I have to throw that out because that was the start of my traditions, was always going to see them, and then they passed on several years back. So mostly the only way I can see them now is going out by the graveside. But, you know, I don't mean to make that a somber moment. It's just true. So that was the first one. The second tradition that's carried on for years is kind of what I just did with you guys, is have a guy go first, then you go, and then I go. That's actually what we do with presents on Christmas Eve. We would always have at 7 o'clock, I think it was either on CBS, ABC, somebody was always playing It's a Wonderful Life. That's how we knew it was time to start opening Christmas presents. So, but I started some type of tradition. I think, I don't know what age I was, probably 7, 8, where we went in order. It was dad first, mom, and then myself, and then we went in a circular motion. It just kind of stuck, and we always had 7 o'clock, It's a Wonderful Life, it's on, and we're exchanging presents. So that's one that's carried on throughout the years. The reason I say there's a third one is because I've got a stepdaughter now that has insisted that we do something different for Christmas Eve. So we have a very unhealthy Christmas Eve dinner now. And it's because we started using things that were from, I say that because we use things that are from movies from Christmas. For instance, the cheese pizza in Home Alone, that's one of the entrees. I'm not making that up. The Grinch, we have Who Pudding. We can't do a real roast beef, but we did like a roast beef style roast beef slider is one that we ended up doing. And I promise you, another one we did was from Home Alone, the highly nutritious microwavable macaroni and cheese. I promise you that is on the menu that we have. So it's not exactly healthy, but I had to share those three because that kind of leads us to where we are now.
You know, that reminded me of one more tradition. I don't know how I have slipped out of my mind, but when you mentioned the food, I did mention food, but I know that on Christmas morning, I will normally go get breakfast at McDonald's and bring breakfast back to the house because I didn't want people cooking again. I knew that we were going to be cooking later in the day. So I know it's funny, you know, and it doesn't seem, you know, but it's been a tradition now for a good, gosh, I would say, yeah, I mean, at least 8 years we've been doing it so far. It's fairly new. But I'll go get breakfast at McDonald's and bring it back, and we'll have a McDonald's breakfast every Christmas morning.
Any other ideas come to you after that one, Tom? Wonder if any other holiday ideas come into play there?
The only thing I can actually go with is that we do we used to do an elephant gift exchange for like when we would, okay, so we would break up the holiday. So in the morning to afternoon is with my family, and from 3 o'clock to whenever is with my wife's family. So whenever we're done with my family, we go to my wife's family, and they ended up having this huge identical pajama party, and every single family member in their little clique would be the same pajamas. And then next thing you know, they do this elephant gift exchange that gets kind of violent for a family gathering, to be honest with you. But that's a little bit kind of like we don't, it's like blockers that it's actually Christmas and they just focus on what they're trying to trade for. So that's another thing that we have pretty much going on. But now since the whole pandemic thing, we don't do it no more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of things have come to a screeching halt with so many people at this point. We've all been affected by it somehow. I mean, that's why we're doing this podcast now. It's like, not only do we enjoy the entertainment and enjoy edifying each other, but there's people that are asking us to put the episodes out. I'm like, okay, you know, day after Christmas, you're a little bored. Put us on and you know, that it be part of the discussion, you know, send us some messages, some feedback on whatever platforms you listen to. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment. But I got to ask this one now that we've got that. Cat's out of the bag. I mentioned that we do meals based on movies. So I'd like to know, as far as Christmas movies go, what are some, Ed, what are some of the absolute musts that y'all have to sit down and watch or have to be on in the background movies-wise, Christmas movies, for the holidays?
You know, it's funny because Christmas, we don't watch movies. We watch movies leading up to Christmas. So, you know, Thanksgiving starts the Christmas movie watching. So Thanksgiving Day, we always start with Home Alone 1. And then we go to Home Alone 2. And as the days go, you know, Grinch is thrown in there. National Lampoon's is one of my favorites, Christmas Vacation. You know, and we make our way. Now, as for Christmas Day, we're normally watching the basketball games. I'm usually watching sports. So we're not really watching movies. We're watching usually all the NBA games that are going on that day because they usually do some really good matchups for Christmas Day games. And that's what we're normally doing. So
that, yeah, but you got the classics as fillers in between that time.
Correct. Hey, Will Ferrell's Elf is another one.
I could not agree more.
And
Tom,
we can't
what you
forget
got
for Charlie Brown.
Yeah, amen. There you go. We'll definitely get to that in a second. Tom, what you got for us,
Charlie
buddy?
Brown, you know that. But well, mostly like we do, like A Christmas Story has to be played. Bottom line, we have to talk about Ralphie and the one that his little brother can't get up from the snow, that in the tongue on the pole. It's awesome. So that's one of the must-sees. And then we just mostly, like, Elf was good. The Grinch is good. But I like the classic. Like, it's, you know, The Christmas Carol, all those movies we usually just watch together after the kids open up their presents and go crazy in order to calm people down.
Absolutely. See, you know, y'all mentioned most of the big ones that are in our family that will be played at some point in between there. I don't think there's really one, the hill we die on Christmas Eve, except that if it's showing at 7 o'clock, It's a Wonderful Life says that it's mm-hmm. time for presents. But as far as when other ones are shown, there's not really a schedule on those, but absolutely every single one that y'all mentioned are shown. You know very well Charlie Brown's going to be played in my house, but there's a couple of more that have always been in the background, pretty special in my life because I had the VHSs of them back in the day, was Mickey's Christmas Carol and also Charlie Brown, not Charlie Brown Christmas, but Garfield Christmas was another one. Yeah. Okay. Those were often in the background in some way. But I think there's one other thing I can mention. It's never truly Christmas for me, even now with my wife, when it's a little redhead girl, it's never truly Christmas with me if I don't get a chance to either pull the audio or pull it up on YouTube, because it's there, of the read-along book of Mickey's Christmas Carol. I'm not kidding you. Okay. That's kind of the nostalgic thing is, you know, they all have all the read-along tapes and you can follow along in the story. You know, I grew up with a lot of those. But Mickey's Christmas Carol on audio cassette and reading the book is still kind of one of those precious ones that I have kind of back here that really brings up the Christmas spirit in me. So I love y'all's answers. Anything else that comes up, think of them by all means. But I got to throw it around at this point. Are there any particular Christmas albums or particular artist music, Ed, that absolutely your family wants to hear this time of year? We'll get to mine when we come around.
Yeah, actually, of course, my wife's obsessed with Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas, right? I think everyone loves that. I think it's like the number one. But for me, I always like to play this. I can't find the album or the cassette because it's that old. My dad used to play this every Christmas, you know, when we wake up, you know, he'd be playing this music, this album while we were opening gifts. and the only way I could find it now is on YouTube. And it's very, I mean, if you listen to it, it's very 70s. I mean, it's like very 70s Christmas. So it's called the South Soul Orchestra Jollies, Christmas Jollies. If you ever look at or try to find it on YouTube, go ahead and take a listen. It's so 70s, and my son, I played it for my son, and he's like, what is this? This is terrible. And I was like, no.
Of course.
Every time I play it, it brings back all the memories, you know, of my childhood, because my dad played it every Christmas. You know, it wouldn't fail. We're opening gifts, that entire album is playing the whole day. Even after we're done opening gifts into dinner, he's, you know, we've got the whole family over, and he's playing that album on repeat. And funny thing is that came out on record, on cassette, and 8-track. So that's basically, it's aging me right now. That's how old I am, so.
But don't you love how unsympathetic the younger generation is to everything that matters to us? You mention 8-tracks and albums, and they're like, what's that? What do I do? And it matters to you, and you're just like, just sit there and hush. You know, keep yourself busy. Oh, man. What about you, Tom?
Real.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't really a struggle, though. When we were enjoying that, it was the end thing. So it really wasn't a struggle. But my thing is, we always had a old personality in our family. So usually 50s, 60s, anybody that sang during that area, mostly all weekends, we play it like loud and proud. And then when it comes to Christmas, mostly it's like my dad fell in love with Celine Dion. So she likes... We listen to her record, and then Mariah Carey, of course. She always reaches the record list. But then, I mean, we mostly played vinyls. That's what we did. We played a lot of vinyls. My dad's old vinyls I still have, you know, and that's been a tradition for us.
I love it. I mean, the thing is, there's not every one of the songs y'all talked about are still part of the Rolodex of songs that we will pull out between that time. I'll tell you, there's not one that we don't play. Everything from old school Bing Crosby, White Christmas, all the way up to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Carol of the Bells. Anything you can think of in between, we play it all. But I will tell you that there was an album that came out for my family in 1996. Not a lot of people talk about this, but she put out a beautiful Christmas album. It was Vanessa Williams. She put out an album called Star Bright, and there are so many songs on there that are so beautifully sung by her, whether it's Do You Hear What I Hear, Baby It's Cold Outside, there's a version of that song on there, The Angels We Have Heard on High, plus many other spins that they did in the song that were just kind of part of in the background. We always played it. Or if we go out looking at Christmas lights, that would be one that would be in the CD player in the car while we went around looking at lights. That would be on there. But as time goes on, all the ones you can think of are a big one. But I have to throw this out there because everybody's thinking I'm going to say Peanuts music in the background, Vince Guaraldi. That's true. That's part of my life. But I will tell you, Mercy Me actually put out a beautiful transition of that song. Christmas Time Is Here. Everybody should go listen to Mercy Me's version of Charlie Brown's Christmas Time Is Here. Everybody should go listen to that one. And also, as of the last couple of years, another gentleman who has knocked it out of the park is a Christian artist by the name of Danny Gokey. That guy has given me two of the best versions of This Christmas and Mary Did You Know that I've probably ever heard in my entire life. So any song you think of, we probably listen to them. But I always recommend Vanessa Williams' Star Bright. I always recommend Mercy Me, especially Christmas Time Is Here. And I recommend Danny Gokey. That guy knows how to put out some Christmas songs. Also, my favorite group, Shane and Shane, did a version of Oh Holy Night. Fantastic version. Anytime I can talk about Shane and Shane, I'll talk about them all day long because that's my group. But that kind of gives me a nice little segue. Now that I mentioned the songs we listen to while we are going around looking at lights, what are some traditions, Ed, in your family when it comes to Christmas lights, whether putting them up around the house or going around the neighborhood to check out everybody else's or festivities around town. What's your memories of Christmas lights?
Well, my dad wasn't a Griswold, so he definitely wasn't getting on a roof stapling lights.
That's or kicking sure. reindeer across the yard.
So, yeah, we never had lights on the roof, period. So if we had any lights, it was in the bushes with, you know, and at those days, you didn't have these huge blow-up, you know, figures that they have now on the lawns. It was the, you know, like you said, the plastic, you know, the plastic figurines with the lights in them. And of course, the nativity scene was the biggest thing. You know, nativity scene always in the front yard lit up with the lights in the bushes. And that's pretty much it. That's about what I remember. I know that my dad never gave me a ball of Christmas lights tangled up and asked me to untangle them. That never happened. So yeah, that was, you know, that's about what we did with Christmas lights. I think Tom had more than I had with my family. That's for sure.
Nothing wrong with that, but now you've got me intrigued though. So Tom, let it rip about Christmas lights, buddy.
All right, here we go. So, growing up, my dad became legally blind. So I pretty much was the, you know, the helper around the house with everything. So when it comes to Christmas, which is my father's favorite season to celebrate, he went all out. He bought everything that you could get on QVC. He bought everything you could go wherever. If he goes to Sam's Club, it's everything that he could buy in bulk. He'll grab it. And he's like, oh, don't worry, we're going to need it later. So guess who gets up on the roof? This guy right here. And starts putting the stuff on. And one year he bought a Santa with the reindeer, you know, the whole thing where you put on the roof. And thank God they messed it up, because I would have had to put that up myself and that wasn't going to work. But still, what we do, you know, to carry on his tradition, you know, he passed away in 2005, but to honor his tradition, we have this huge giant reef that he just loved. And I put it up every year. So
that's
beautiful. Oh, and I also fell off the ladder when he was holding it. So
oh no.
Yeah, not good.
But you live to tell the tale. So at least
we yes. can, yeah. Pretty much. It was about a 6-foot drop. So
we can't appreciate that blessing/curse, and since you're still able to share it here on the podcast either way. I guess the only one on my side, other than just we usually would go around either Christmas Eve or the day before, just depending upon the weather. Yeah, we would just go around, look at Christmas lights, and just find, you know, cities that are, you know, and find cities nearby we can go to, or if there's nearby parks, we would go check out. Yeah, that was a big part of it. But I can say a big memory that I have as far as Christmas lights is something my dad did for me, and he did it strictly because I wanted it. You mentioned going up on the roof. Well, my dad was, you know, count my blessings. He was still able-bodied and still is to this day. And we'll do anything for you and not think twice about it. We found a light-up Santa Claus Snoopy that was sold. I don't know if it was Walmart or Target, but it was the full-sized with the bag over his back. And I asked Dad, can we put this up on the roof? And he said he could, but the way our roof was constructed, it would not stay there if it was not tied securely. And you really couldn't tie it on the inside of the foot. You'd have to, like, completely – you might even destroy it by doing that. So what he did is he had this yellow rope that he would tie around the bottom that wouldn't look too bad with the Christmas lights around the house. And he, in other words, when you knew – when we were coming to our house, you knew what house was ours because Snoopy was on top of the roof for about 25 days out of the year. Exactly. Yeah, and that shouldn't surprise anybody here. But also it's a testament to how good a man Blockhead Senior is. And that was a big one on me. But other than seeing Christmas lights and everything in between, it kind of gives me an idea to throw out here just to see if there is anything. I'm not sure what kind of festivities and what big holiday celebrations you guys have that are around the Christmas holiday. So I guess when it comes to festivities or big, you know, celebrate. Usually we all watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but when it comes to Christmas, locally, Ed, are there any big, like Christmas pageants or something you take your kids to? What's something big that you guys all go and watch, you know, pre-COVID, mind you, but up till this time, was there some big Christmas celebrations that you guys would go check out that were downtown?
Well, you know, here in Central Florida, there's many things. I mean, you have the theme parks, for example, that they each one of the theme parks does some sort of Christmas celebration with parades. You have the city of Orlando does a parade during the day in downtown Orlando for the holidays. But we normally stay away from a lot of the touristy areas, especially during that the holidays, because it's very busy pre-COVID. What we do big time was midnight mass, midnight service. We would always get together, the families, and we'd go and do midnight service. And that was a tradition for quite a few years. This year is going to be a little bit different for us. But I know some folks still are able to go to their, you know, respective, you know, places of, you know, I can't think of the word right now. Jeez, Louise.
Prayer,
whatever you want to, you know, but yeah, that's one of the traditions we always had was midnight service.
There you go. Some type of chapel service that could happen or Christmas mass that would take place. I mean, that's helpful because, you know, it kind of makes me think of a few that are around this area, but I've got one that I'll save for mine at this point. Tom, what do you got for us, buddy?
Well, I mean, up in Jersey, there was really hard things to actually celebrate because you're usually snowed in or not able to get out the house. But when I came down here to Orlando, I started with going to go see, there's a place called the Gaylord Palms. And we used to go see this place called Ice. They have an attraction there that everything's made out of ice sculptures. And they had like Snoopy. They had so many different other characters there. And then we used to go there. And then once I had kids, there was a place called Celebration, which is not far from that hotel. And they have in their little downtown, they have like reindeer you could pet. They had fake snow coming in, and it was just nuts. And have hot cocoa sometimes when the weather's cold, which is barely cold in Orlando, you know that. So but that's usually what we did. We just made sure that we just kept everybody, you know, near us, and we just celebrated once we got a chance. But that's about it.
No, that's actually quite helpful, you know, again, because you've relocated a few times, and I'm not sure if you watch things that were on television, if they were available. Also, when we have kids, you know, we have, like, Christmas pageants that we could attend in between there. Maybe those are a big one. You know, that's kind of what mine was, just remembering, like, the Christmas plays we would do or seeing some that were around town. Like, they used to have, like, a human tree at some churches we would go to. When my grandparents were still alive, we'd go check those out. But the big one actually as of late has been my own church I go to now that's becoming more important celebration-wise is our candlelight service. And good news for everybody is that will be up on – I think we'll have a Facebook Live for that this year. There will be those who choose to attend, and we keep our distance, but there's also going to be those who don't want to come. You can watch and you can hear the message. So, you know, Pastor Matt will be putting one on this year. That makes me very happy at this point. So what I'll pull at this point is I'll share a couple of mine on the end, but I'm going to ask, starting with Ed, is there a particular holiday drink that is a must for you or your family when the holidays come around? Anything in particular you want to share on that one?
Well, I think that Tom's going to agree with me on this one. You know, we're both Puerto Rican, so it's a Puerto Rican tradition. We have our own so-called eggnog. It's called, I'm sure some people have already heard of it. If you have, you know, Puerto Rican coworkers or things like that, where a lot of them sell it during the holidays, it's called coquito. And it's basically like a coconut eggnog, but there's no egg involved in it. There shouldn't be any egg involved in it. If someone is making it with egg, they're doing it the wrong way, but it's
you heard it here, Blockhead Nation.
So it's yeah, it's with coconut, condensed milk, cinnamon, and all kinds of stuff, lots of sugar. And then you could either make it two ways. You could keep it virgin, but most of them are made with a little Puerto Rican rum in them. So it has a little Puerto Rican rum in it. Some of them might have a little more Puerto Rican rum than most. So yeah, there's a little there is Puerto Rican rum incorporated in this drink. So it is an alcoholic beverage, but it's delicious. And I'm telling you, when you taste it, you don't realize it, and you're just having drinks, and by the time you know it, you're in a happy place. And yeah,
creeps up on you.
Yeah. So that's one of the most traditional drinks that we will have. And you know, luckily I still have my mother around, which she makes it the very traditional way, and she always gets me a bottle, and it's fantastic times.
I assume you can attest to this one, Tom. Or are there any others other than that you can think of drink wise for the holidays?
Oh no. I mean, we have the coquito. My wife makes it now, so I get, you know, we do a virgin for the kids, and then, you know, the adult beverages happen. But my thing is that we have another, I don't know if Ed has experienced this, but we have a Puerto Rican moonshine. It's called pitorro. Pitorro is like really fermented fruit in a bottle that has moonshine in it. And oh my God, let's just say, it gives a whole different meaning to a hot toddy.
I'd say wife B has been educated tonight on that one. I'm sure there's more you can add to this Ed and Tom, but when it comes to my side, you're about to go from adult beverages to PG, my friend. And I say that simply because I'm sure a lot of people have this misconception that all I drink over here is A&W root beer. Now, that's the one that I will only have in my house compared to the other flavors, but actually when it comes to the holidays over here at Blockhead Mansion and growing up, I always felt like I was super sophisticated. I'm going to throw in that Vanessa Williams CD again. That would probably be playing while we're setting up the tree or we're getting things ready around the house. That would be played. Well, we also had, during that time, there is a type of ginger ale, and I will stand by this until the day I die. If you drink Canada Dry, you are missing out. If you try out Singram's ginger ale, you're missing out. There's nothing better when it comes to ginger ale than Schweppes. And Schweppes used to have a raspberry-style ginger ale that was only sold during the holidays. And they are very hard to come by. If you go to the store and you find one, you know, grab it up because you're lucky. There's very few of them that are on the shelf. And I always felt like this super special 13-year-old helping with the family, music in the background, and I would have this goblet. You know, the family would have the goblets. You feel like you're drinking out of a wine glass when all you're doing is you're sipping that raspberry ginger ale. Nothing more than that. But, you know, but the truth is, it really is a fantastic soda, and it's very hard to find, and I'll stand by that. You know, if you make your holiday fruit punches or whatever, or you make some type of punch, you might want to get Schweppes over the other stuff. And so I stand by that one more than I even do A&W. I'm not kidding. But, you know, we've had, and throughout my life, I think there was times when my uncle would used to be drinking something called Wassel. That was a big thing with him traditionally in their family. And really, that was the only drink, I guess you can say, that actually brings back memories on my side. Not that I won't try anything once, but I can only say I'm just uneducated in that realm. But now that I'm on that spill, I got to ask you about, is there a particular, Ed, a type of dessert? Like, we talked about making food, but we haven't gone to anything specific. Are there types of desserts that are holiday treats that you enjoy around the holidays more than others? What do you got on that one?
Well, we're going to go right back to my Puerto Rican upbringing. I mean, there's quite a few of them. The two biggest ones that my mom would make was this one of them I didn't like personally, but she would make it. It's called tembleque, and it's basically a coconut jello is what I consider it. It's basically like jello, but it's made out of it's with coconut, and to me, I'm not a big fan of it, but people love it. It's, you know, coconut, again, coconut and cinnamon. Here we go again. That's the combination for the holidays here. And then the other one is called arroz con dulce, which is like a rice pudding. People, I think, have been, like I said, coworkers. If you have coworkers that are Puerto Rican, I'm sure you've seen this before. It's this rice pudding. And it's made with cinnamon, sugar, coconut milk, again, and it's this rice. Raisins are involved in there as well, and that's my favorite. I can sit there, and my mom will make like a pan, you know, like as big as the size of a pie, and I'll kill it, man. And it's not healthy for you, but it's the most delicious thing you'll ever have, man. So those are the two that are traditional in my household.
I'll tell you, my mouth's watering. It already sounds delicious on this end, buddy. Tom, you got anything for us on this one, for us holiday treats that you enjoy?
I mean, mostly, like, we do bread pudding. That's a big thing. And then what Ed said, those two things. And then we actually do another one called majarete. And that's has to do with, like, rice flour and coconut and cinnamon. I guess you could say it's a pudding. It's a, you know, it's really soft. It's beautiful. It's awesome. My grandma made it every year. But other than that, we just chilled and made cookies for Santa, and we ate the leftovers that he left behind.
See, that's the holidays right there. I wholeheartedly agree with you there. But I guess on my end, this is one that you can really get this all year long. But especially around the holidays, this is when it's most in demand and where I live. We have this very infamous bakery that's in Corsicana, Texas. And if you haven't heard about it, I'm going to interest both of you with this. What is part of my family as far as traditional during the holidays is fruitcake. Now, hang on a minute before you start gagging. I understand if you're thinking store fruitcake.
Oh, fruitcake, no.
Hang on a minute. This is where I'm going to talk you into the building, because there is a huge difference between store-bought disgusting fruitcake and world-famous deluxe fruitcake from the Collin Street Bakery out of Corsicana, Texas. They are night and day. The whole world sings the praises. You can go watch Food TV, just go research it. Go look at collinstreet.com. I get nothing out of this by saying that. But all my life, my grandparents, my parents, my uncles, I'm telling you, the Collin Street Deluxe World Famous Fruitcake has things like cherries, Costa Rican pineapples, honey, pecans from Texas, and the fruit mixture in between that makes this one of the most delicious tasting holiday treats you will ever taste. Because people are going to scoff at it at first, and rightfully so. If you're thinking fruitcake, automatically you go, oh, that's disgusting. And most of them are. That's the one. Oh, my goodness. And they are pricey. And if I had a discount for you or a promo code, I'd tell it to you. I think if you get their newsletter, I think they stick with the old traditional way. They like put them in people's mailboxes. But European royalty have said, we want this fruitcake. There is a scene in The Godfather where he is talking on the phone. In the back, there is a tin of a Collin Street Bakery fruitcake. I'm not making that up.
Wow.
So that's been a big one for my family. And again, if I can convince you otherwise on just that one, on the Collin Street Bakery fruitcake, then I've done my job and I've done it well. But we love that every year. Any other kind, get that garbage away from me. But that kind of opens me up to something else, because I know we've gotten to all of them. I know how important Christmas Day is to everyone, but I want to know if we can deduce it to one. Is there, Ed, a most favorite Christmas present that you unwrapped on Christmas Day, whether it's childhood or recently? Most favorite Christmas gift you have ever received on Christmas Day?
Okay, Brian, I'll go to that, but I'm looking at these fruitcake prices and I'm about to pass out here.
I'm telling you.
You're right. You're right. This better taste good for this price.
It does, but I can't justify the price, except that the demand for it and during the holidays is super high. And I do believe that if you get on their newsletter, then they send out promo codes and coupons all the time. But if you're getting them during the holidays when the rush is there, good luck getting something beneath that. But yes, it is worth it. See if you can make that stuff last for a day.
Now, for all our listeners out there, if they are interested in this fruitcake that we're speaking of, and they don't live in Texas, can these fruitcakes be shipped to them and still taste as good?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I used to have them as an affiliate. I mean, when I started going into affiliate marketing for a short time, they were on there, and I promise you to this day, not a single item has surpassed what I have made on affiliate sales that were of Collin Street Bakery. But when they took it away and went back to their old traditional ways, I can't get mad about it. That's just a decision made by the higher ups, the powers that be that are in that. Because once again, if you look up the story of Collin Street Bakery in Corsicana, Texas, you're going to have an illustrious history like you wouldn't believe. But let the description on collinstreet.com talk you into the room too. If I can't do it for you, look through their stuff. I'm telling you.
I think you've talked me into it. I think I might do that. Yep. I think I might do it. So,
but is there one that you have favorite Christmas gift of all time?
All right. So on to the Christmas gift. Yes. It was the Christmas morning that I wake up and Santa left a brand new Nintendo Entertainment System under the Christmas tree. The original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Beautiful.
When you ripped open and you saw what you got, I mean, it was the console, the two remotes, the laser gun. You know, it was Super Mario Brothers, and that was it. Like, forget everything else. That was the Christmas gift of all Christmas gifts.
Forget about Duck Hunt.
Forget all the extra socks that you got in your stocking or the sweatshirt from grandma. I know they mean well, but in your mind, that's not what's got your attention at this point. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
That changed the video game world and it changed my life so far.
I rest my case. What do you got for us, Tom? What type of gems can we expect for greatest Christmas gift you ever received?
The best ones were when I added to my collection. So anything that had, like, I did baseball card collecting. I also did, to be honest, I was pretty good at my toys where I kept them in the package. So I was a G.I. Joe guy. Ed knows about this because he saw a pack of Misfits, all the Misfits in one package, and I haven't lifted even a dent in it. So that Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joes, everything to Thundercats. Also the big rubber foot guys from wrestling. I used to have the old guys like Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, the British Bulldog and the Junkyard Dog. So.
Yeah, I couldn't remember all of them. I know I had a wrestling buddy that was Macho Man Randy Savage, but I couldn't remember exactly every collectible that they made. There's so many. But, man,
oh yeah,
that is beautiful, man. I'm loving these answers because the thing is, I've got several that I could probably go back and go, yeah, this one was great, this one was good and all that. But there's something very special about one that I got when I was 4 years old. And let me see if I can walk y'all through this. Most people would think that I'd say something Peanuts. Now, granted, you know what? I'm the same way. Add to my Peanuts collection, we're friends for life. But when it comes to when I was first growing up and kind of coming into being a little boy, I was such a big fan of He-Man and Masters of the Universe. Nothing that He-Man did, that guy could do no wrong, and still can't. But it was 1988, if I'm not mistaken, right? 1989. One of the two. Can't remember which one. But I remember waking up one morning and coming in, and there was the entire Eternia playset that was put together. Now, granted, we know that there's things like Castle Grayskull, Snake Mountain, but this one was different. This was the one that was the Eternia Towers. It had the huge lion with the arms that came out, and it had the the sky sleds that would go around Snake Mountain and around Castle Grayskull that were on two sides of it, but you had the central tower. And I've heard for years that my dad spent all night. I know I keep mentioning him, but this is, again, testament to how good a man my dad was. He spent all night putting that thing together, basically for me to probably break it in the first 15 minutes of having it. But either way, I know we have pictures of it. But again, that there was something that cannot be surpassed with that Eternia playset that was put together that day. And those memories are still very precious to me. So anything He-Man back in the day was a big deal for me. Can't go wrong with those. I don't know if I have any more, but I guess this is kind of the miscellaneous side of everything. But Ed, are there any other little stories or memories or something that you really want to share that's popped up that we haven't discussed to kind of bring this bad boy to a close?
Well, you know, you brought up Masters of the Universe, and if I were to have, you know, a runner-up, it would be, as a Christmas gift, would have been, you know, back in the day when I, you know, unwrapped the giant box and it was Castle Grayskull, because I was a huge Masters of the Universe fan as well. He-Man was like it for me, you know, along with G.I. Joe and stuff, but, you know, seeing Castle Grayskull, and then my dad put it together and I just couldn't wait. And I was like, hurry up, you know, let's put it together, you know, and it, that was just seeing that ginormous box as a kid that's just bigger than me was, that was phenomenal. So that would be my runner up.
There might be a day when you and I might have to have a whole Masters of the Universe segment on Casually Kicking It. That might be something in the future we might need to do, because, you know, I'm not trying to step over you here, Tom, but he mentioned that about how there, you know, Netflix has the Toys That Made Us. I love the story of He-Man, and just knowing that was kind of on the downside of the when they hit their peak moment and then they were really going into their bust cycle. I mean, that was about the time that I got the Eternia playset, and that tells me not only is my dad a good man, he know how to get that bad boy on sale. So I got to tip my humble hat to him, too. He must have got it like a 70% off or something like that year. So enough of the history lesson. Tom, what you got for us, buddy, as far as best anything else that hasn't been covered yet?
Well, I mean, the only thing was like we would just enjoy – the time that we had with each other. There was nothing really too crazy. We didn't have to expect everything, you know. When I was brought up, it was a little bit rough, you know. It was like we didn't have that much money and things of that sort. So we mostly were blessed with the people around us and how we spent the holidays, you know. I also did have Battle Cat, and I had the He-Man that switched his chest switches. You know,
yes, the battle damage one.
Battle damage, yes. Battle damage.
I had the one, the blue guy that spins with the arms.
Cyclone.
The orange ape I had. I had a bunch of stuff. And then I had Adam, like Prince Adam. Prince Adam. Had the white and the purple. Yeah. I didn't have any.
Ranger.
I didn't have any. Oh, yes. I had Battle Cat. I love Battle Cat. So yeah.
When he had the armor, he was Battle Cat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Cringer would be the cat, but of course metamorphosis is into Battle Cat. But yeah,
of course. Yeah.
And of course, you know, Tom, I have to say on this one, man, is that, you know, we might sound like we're quotes boiled or we're not, but I will say this: today, what matters is the memories, and I love that you brought that up. It's not about how many presents you have around the Christmas tree. It's just, but everything here that we've shared is memories that we cherish, and it doesn't matter. You can't put a price tag on any of those. And I'm very thankful that you guys opened up about this. This has just filled my heart with gladness in so many ways, filled me with holiday cheer at this point. I think what we should do is to add a little more Christmas cheer to it. Since we got New Year's coming up, why not make it a very happy new year for Casually Kicking It for you guys, to plug all your merchandise and plug all your shows for the listeners, man. So they know where to find you with me. They know the YFB Network, but what would you like them to do for New Year's as far as Casually Kicking It? Let's plug the merch. Let's plug the website. Let's do it.
Well, merch, just like the YFB, you know, you can get your merch at Store Frontier for Casually Kicking It. Your sweaters, your shirts, koozies, masks for COVID times now. And you could follow us on the major social media platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can find our podcast on basically the major platforms as well. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. And we're now on YouTube, so you could also catch us on YouTube. So you guys want to watch us, or if it's easier to just hit that play button on, you know, on YouTube and, you know, do your chores around the house while you're listening to us that way, whatever it is.
I know it's hard to look at those beautiful faces all the time, but you can also switch to the audio.
There you go. If you're afraid to go to the tube of you, then you can go to the audio platform. But, you know, anything else that you want to plug, Tom, and to throw it out there, here's your chance, buddy.
No, that's it, buddy. I mean, Ed's always got it on lockdown, and I'm just here to
– We want to make sure that everyone, you know, continues enjoying their holiday and have a happy and safe new year. And let's hope for a better 2021.
Just enjoy the moments you have with the people around you, and don't worry about the future. Worry about the day you're spending.
There's your mic drop, ladies and gentlemen. I am honored to be in the same realm of the podcasting world as these – great men that are here, including even the handsome young man in the background that might have been told to scram a couple of times. He's welcome as part of this too. But let me go ahead and put this out there. For the listeners that are listening to your favorite blockhead, you know where to go at this point. You can get me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other major platforms that you go to. You can check us out on YouTube. When it looks like Zoom has been nice enough for us to put this up, so this should be up on the tube of you pretty soon. You can also get your merchandise for storefrontier.com. You can go to the search engine and put either Casually Kicking It or your favorite blockhead. You can find merchandise for both of those. You can also check out ko-fi.com/yourfavoriteblockhead and leave a tip, leave a cup of coffee for yours truly, and you will receive a personal thanks in return for that one. You can check me out on all the platforms. Also, as always, go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog and click all the links for today's shows and any of those that came before it. And with that, gentlemen, thank you again for a wonderful post-Christmas episode, and I bid both of you adieu.
Hey.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
There you go. And a Happy New Year, and we hope that everybody out there will do their homework and they'll go watch Happy New Year, Charlie Brown, in some way, shape, or form. Not sure what platform it's going to be on, but it needs to be out there. That's my assignment from me to the Blockhead Nation and to the YFB Network. And until we meet up again in the new year of 2021, thank you so much for being a part of our journey. This is your favorite Blockhead, and we will see you guys next Saturday, same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.